Father, I pray for mercy. I pray for mercy in the life of Shelley's sister. And children, husband, grandchildren, as you save their souls. That you do the glorious miracle that you've done in my life of opening their hearts to truth. And reaching into their heart of stone and creating a heart of flesh. That you would call them out as a good shepherd. And we'll glorify you and praise you in all things. Christ's name we pray. Amen. Among the animal kingdom, sheep have come out on the short end. Have you ever been around sheep? They are of limited intelligence, given to listless wanderings. Even been heard and been said that sometimes sheep will even walk into open fire. They are timid and stubborn. If you noticed on the video, one of the parts of the video I find so amusing is he's trying to pull these sheep from the sale market to his home, and that one is just pulled back down and does not want to move. They can be frightened easily. They're absolutely defenseless. It has also been said that the existence of sheep is great evidence against the theory of evolution. That there's no way sheep could survive on their own. They would be killed off. Scripture is rich in its imagery of its portraying us as sheep. Psalms 110, verse 1 through 3 says this, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Isaiah 53, verse 6 says this, We are all like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned away to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're all like sheep, gone astray. Psalms 23 reads this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." The first part of that verse, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. If he is the shepherd, then I am the sheep." We are the ones of limited intelligence. We are the ones that are timid and stubborn. We are the ones who are defenseless. The occupation of a shepherd is also throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all shepherds. Israel's greatest leaders, Moses and David, were shepherds. It was to shepherds that the angels visited the night Christ was born. It is shepherds that come to the manger scene. The occupation of a shepherd is a highly personable one. Its very existence of the sheep depends on the shepherd and his 24-hour care. Without the shepherd, the sheep will perish. So in our text this morning, if you have your Bible, open that to John chapter 10. John 10. We're going to be discussing this week and the next couple of weeks the Good Shepherd. I have been looking forward to this chapter for some time in my personal study of the Gospel of John, and we're finally to it. Chapter 10 of John, it picks up where chapter 9 leaves off. There is no break in time. There is no break in conversation. Christ is talking to the same people in chapter 9. In chapter 9, he is talking to the same people in chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 7. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So in the back of your bulletin are some notes. There's two things I want to point out to you in this text. The first one is this. Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep. In biblical times, when this was being, when Gospel of John was written, when Jesus is talking about in Palestine, in this area, there are, in each village, there is a sheepfold. Most often than not, they are built with rock walls surrounding it with one door. And all the shepherds of the countryside would bring their flocks to this one fold, this one pen, and they would all put their sheep into this one fold, and they would either pay a doorkeeper or a gatekeeper to spend the night in the door. It would lay in the door, and the shepherd would go back into town and get some sleep or get some rest, get something to eat, take the night off. And in the morning, he would return, and he would walk up to the doorkeeper or the gatekeeper, or identify himself as being the shepherd, and he would then call out his sheep by name. Now, I want you to imagine in this large corral, this large fold, this large sheep pen, there are numerous sheep. And there are a multitude, there are many different shepherds that have their flock inside of this. And the picture that Christ is giving is that Jesus is the true shepherd. He is approaching his fold, and he is going to call out his sheep by name, and they're going to respond, and they're going to walk out of this. Verse 1. Truly, truly. When you see that word truly, truly, something important is about to be said. Something valuable is about to be said. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and the robber. So the gatekeeper would sit in the door of the sheep, but if a thief wanted to get to the sheep at night, he had to crawl over the wall to get to the sheep. What Christ is talking about in verse 1 is he's comparing himself against the religious leaders of this time period, of the certain group of Pharisees that were rejecting Christ. They were false shepherds. They were false teachers. They were thieves and robbers. Go back to John chapter 9, verse 40. Just a couple verses up. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things, said to him, are we also blind? So we talked about last week, Jesus' conversation with this now healed blind man. It's the Pharisees he's talking to in verse 1 of chapter 10. These Pharisees are attacking Christ. Are we blind? Look at verse 41. Jesus said to them being this group of Pharisees. Now, understand, not all Pharisees are Pharisees. There are a handful of religious, educated men who had the title of Pharisee in the Bible that were not what we consider Pharisees. Nicodemus being one, Joseph of Arimathea being another. Some Pharisees did believe. If you go back in the text of chapter 9, there was a dispute, there was an argument or a division among the group of Pharisees over who Christ was. So I had the tendency of saying Pharisees, and the Pharisees I'm referring to are not all of them, just a handful of them, okay? But in verse 41, he says to them, this group of argumentative, rejecting Christ Pharisees, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now you say you see, your guilt remains. So what he's saying to them is that if you really accepted who I am as being Christ, you would be free of your guilt, free of your sin. But because you reject me as Christ, your guilt, your sin remains. Then he goes on in verse 1, and he describes these thieves and robbers, and he puts it as these false teachers, these false religious leaders, as being the thieves and the robbers. Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the sheep of the shepherd. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. One of the main lessons we're getting in verses 1 and verse 2 is that Christ, and the first principle I want to get you, the first thought I want to get across in this text that we're going to spend quite a bit of time in, is that Christ is the true shepherd over the false teachers, over the false shepherds. We are all sheep. There are sheep in the fold. There are sheep in the pen. They're all sheep. Some sheep he calls out by name. There are sheep that remain, but we're all still considered sheep. And we all follow a shepherd of some kind. We all follow a teacher or a leader. We're all disciples of something. And maybe you're a sheep that's following the wrong shepherd. Maybe you're a sheep that's following a false shepherd, a false teaching. Turn with me to Matthew 7. If you're in the Gospel of John, turn back to Matthew. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So you hear, you have the imagery of a sheep and a wolf, the prey and the hunter. Beware of false prophets, false teachers, false shepherds who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look innocent. They look like you, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. Go to Acts 20. So if you go back to the Gospel of John and keep going to the right, you'll run into Acts. It's the next book over. Acts chapter 20. Verse 29. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which you're in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Verse 29, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. The same imagery of wolf and flock, wolf and sheep, false teachers coming into the flock. The picture here in Acts 20 is the church, the flock being the church, coming into the church and teaching and spreading false doctrine, false theology, false teaching. And last one, 2 Peter. So if you're in Acts, go to the right quite a ways to 2 Peter. Towards the very back of your Bible. 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there were false teachers among you, who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So false teachers was always a problem the New Testament church had to fight against, and a problem that the nation of Israel had to also fight against. And Christ in John chapter 10 is quickly in verse 1 describing the false teachers, the false shepherds, the thieves, the robbers, versus himself being the true shepherd. So back to John 10. And there's a great imagery, a wonderful, wonderful picture that Christ lays out for us as the good shepherd and us as the sheep. Verse 2. Pick up verse 3, excuse me. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now this is very traditional for actually a practicing of shepherds. You don't drive sheep, you lead sheep. You drive cattle, you lead sheep. So a shepherd in this culture would lead his sheep. He would go before, he'd walk ahead of them, and they would follow him. It's even true that shepherds would name their sheep, and they would speak to their sheep, and the sheep would know the shepherd's voice. Literally, they would know the shepherd's voice, and he would make a sound or a phrase, and they would hear it, and they would respond. So the picture we have here of this large communal sheep pen, the shepherd walking up to the gate, and they're calling out individual sheep by name, those sheep responding to the voice of the shepherd, and those sheep walking out of the gate, then that shepherd leading that flock away out to pasture. What a wonderful picture of Christ's salvation, the world, Israel, church, God knowing his sheep. God leading his sheep. That's me. He leads me. He knows me by name. He knows my fears. He knows my failures. He knows my past. He knows my insecurities. He knows every hair on my head. He knows everything about me. When I wander off away from the flock, when I go off and do my own way, he leaves the 99 and come and finds me. He's my shepherd. He protects me from the dangers, leads me beside still waters, and nourishes my soul. Do you follow? Do you follow? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd and ignore it and not follow? Christ is the true shepherd. He calls them out and he leads them out of the sheep pen, and the sheep follow him. Verse 4, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. A born-again, redeemed person will recognize false teaching and will recognize false shepherds when they hear it. And they will not follow it. Discernment of knowing when you hear something that's not totally right. If you're following the true shepherd, you will know when you hear something wrong. This is a figure of speech, verse 6, that he used. But they did not understand it. Who's they? This group of Pharisees. So the first point, Jesus Christ is the true shepherd of the sheep. Second, Jesus is the only door to the fold. The only door to the fold. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. So all who come before me, he's referring to these false teaching Pharisees, not the Old Testament prophets, not Abraham, Isaac, Moses, not David, not those guys, not Ezekiel and Isaiah. He's referring to these religious leaders of this moment. They're thieves or robbers. They're only there to fleece, to get gain from the sheep. Not there to love the sheep, not there to protect the sheep. They're there to abuse the sheep. Understand, there are many, many pastors, many under-shepherds who abuse their flocks. who are only there to gain from their flocks, not to give. And for me personally, as the pastor of High Plains, this is a challenge to me personally as your pastor, as your under-shepherd. Be faithful to the true shepherd. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Pretty clear statement in verse 9, what he's saying. I am the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved. Christ is the only way for salvation. He is the only door that we pass through to be saved, to be justified, to be redeemed, to be forgiven. That's it. There's no other way for you to be a Christian but to go through the door of Jesus. Not church attendance, not good works, not baptism, not communion, not anything else you can think of that's apart from Jesus. It's the door of Jesus. It's it. It is a one-way door. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. So, popular verse, maybe you heard this verse before, verse 10, John 10, 10. Pretty easy address to find, John 10, 10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, referring to the Satan, the devil himself, the thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants nothing good from you, wants nothing good for you. He is a thief. He is a robber. He wants to destroy your life. The second part of the verse, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, a very common misinterpreted verse, have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly does not mean abundantly bank account. It does not mean abundant health. It does not mean abundant prosperity. That's not what it means. The abundant, wonderful, perfect gift of eternal life. That's what Christ came to provide for us. As a good shepherd, he came to provide for us, to give us eternal life. And it's abundant. And it's wonderful. And it's never ending. And it's forever and forever and forever. It's abundant. The shepherd provides eternal life. So my challenge this morning, simple, as we go through this text in the next few weeks to come, is Christ your shepherd? Has he called you by name? Are you responding to his voice? Are you following him? Or are you following a false shepherd, a false teaching? For the next few moments, I'd like for you to close your eyes. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a few moments. Maybe this morning you need to become a Christian. And this morning you need to confess Christ as being Lord and King. Maybe this morning you need to be a sheep of the shepherd. Father, I thank you for this moment. Thank you for the glory of your salvation. Father, I pray now you do the work I cannot do in the hearts and lives of these people. Of your sheep, call them by name, lead them out, cause faith and repentance in a dead heart. It will glorify you in all things. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. He is the good shepherd. Next week, we will learn more about the good shepherd. A couple announcements.